Hi, this is Ben.
This is Ming, and you're listening to The Zealous Theory. Everyday, ordinary hustlers have great stories to tell. This podcast goes in depth into the lives of these hustlers and finds out what drives them.
Is that what I wrote?
Yes! This podcast goes in depth. This podcast goes in depth into the lives of these hustlers to find out what drives them. What drives them to be passionate is usually something bigger than money. Let's dive in to find out more.
Awesome. And since you're already doing the whole intro for me, why don't you sing the intro tune for me too?
You have a tune?
Yeah. What I'm gonna play it and then you're gonna sing it, okay?
What?
You're gonna hum it or sing it.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
One, two,
okay. Three, go. Louder. Hey, what's up, everybody? You're listening to The Zealous Theory, and today, my guest here is Ming.
Thanks for the intro. I appreciate it. Today, I have Ming. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Yeah, it's been a crazy few months, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you holding up on your end?
Yeah, I'm doing really well now. Like, in the beginning, it was really tough because, you know, I worked in a school during the school year and transitioning the largest school district to remote learning in 3 days was really tough. And there was a long period of time when we're all quarantined at home. We're all asking ourselves, what's going on in the world? We can't demand answers that are unknown. Yeah, during this time, I really honed in on the fact that the only thing that is in my control is my reaction to things and events. Like, everything else is not under our control. It's kind of an illusion.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, we feel like we're in control because we make decisions of the little things in our lives. But really, we just have to make peace with not being in control. You know the saying, the only constant in life is change? Have you heard of it? I never told you. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a little curious about your upbringing. Let's dive in a little bit about your childhood. What was your family like growing up? And what value did your family instill in you?
For me personally, I didn't get too much of study hard and work hard. Then you will grow up and live a more relaxed life. Since I was naturally a studier, someone who would do their homework to get it out of the way so I wouldn't have to think about it without anyone nagging at me. So my parents didn't really have to worry about me. My mom actually tells me the opposite. Even to this day, she's like, don't work so hard. Take time out for yourself. Relax and have fun. She keeps telling me this because every time she called or WeChatted me pre-quarantine, I'd always be working on the evening shift or a weekend shift at a nursing home. But yeah, for me, it's don't work so hard.
That's a little different from other, I guess, Asian families, right?
Because
a lot of them are like, you should work hard, you should grow up, make a lot of money or whatever, support your family, help your younger siblings or whatever. So that's not really the case for you.
Yeah, because my mom is really independent. She like has her own business and stuff, so she doesn't want to rely on any of her kids. But for me, I think it's different versus if she was talking to my other brothers.
So it's more because of you're a girl, you think?
Not because I was a girl, but because of my personality, how I'm more of a studier and I'm more like, I'm gonna do this, get out of the way. I'm not really a procrastinator.
She always sees you as a more responsible one.
That's why I have to do all the paperwork, all the letters, all the translations.
Even today?
Even today, even when we're in different states.
So I guess the way she raised you, it was the right direction after all, because you definitely kept up the expectation.
Yeah, and being the firstborn, you're always the one that's, or you're usually more responsible being the firstborn.
I like that. I could relate to that. And were you always in New York growing up?
Yeah, so I was born in New York. Then my family decided, oh, we want to go to Michigan. Then my family decided, okay, we want to go to Michigan. And I was like, no, I don't want to go. It's like kind of, I don't know what you think of when you hear Michigan.
Cars, the auto industry, middle of nowhere maybe.
Exactly. Lakes, the Five Lakes. So I went there for middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And then my family moved back to New York, here for high school. And then the second year of college, my family moved back to Michigan, but I decided to stay here.
So what's the reason for the move to Michigan? Was it for business, work? What is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they had a Chinese restaurant in Manhattan when I was in elementary school. It was doing really well, but I think something happened, some lifestyle changes, something like that. And then they're like, oh, we're going to go to Michigan. They opened up the dollar store, some Chinese restaurants, some fried chicken restaurants. And it's doing much more better there. And the dollar goes a longer way there. Housing is so much more cheaper, like 5 times cheaper.
So they could make good amount of money, but the expenses are much lower.
Right. And they can live in a huge house with a, what, huge backyard, patio.
Yes, I've seen it. I'd love to visit again you know, at some point. Assuming you went to middle school in Michigan and then you came back to New York City for high school and college.
Right.
What was your college experience like? What did you study?
Yeah, so in college, I went in as a business major.
Really?
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I heard H-Quad was the best quad. That was what? Leadership, business kind of, I don't know.
See, no one remembers.
Right, something like that. I don't know. They divided the quads.
The best.
You know, like Tabler was arts. H-Quad was more business, so I'm like, I really want to get into this quad, live there, and I think it would be easier to get into if I was a business major. So I applied to Stony as a business major, got in, and then I immediately changed my major to health sciences, took all the science courses.
So the reason for business is just to get into the school, but you didn't really have any interest in studying business?
No, I was really always a science person growing up. I don't know if it helped, if that's a good tactic or not, but it was like a little thing that I was told to do.
Did you know what health track you were going into specifically?
No, so originally I was like, health sciences, there's so many options. PA was actually like my first choice.
So what did you end up studying?
I ended up studying OT.
OT? What is OT?
Occupational therapy.
Oh, okay.
Sounds cool. Have you heard of it?
Is that physical therapy?
No! What do you think OT is, based on your experience?
Based on my experience is to help any individuals who have problem or have a hard time of bringing themselves up to occupational level of requirements. So if they have issue with the day-to-day function or anything to help them function in the society, something like that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Put simply, OTs help people learn to do the things that they need and want to do every day in life independently. They help people engage in meaningful activities or occupations and help them better function in their daily environments.
So you're working as an OT now?
Yeah.
And who are some of the people that need your service?
So I currently work in the school system.
In a school?
Mm-hmm. But in the evening shifts, whenever school is off, I work at the nursing homes. And I used to work in home care as well. So OTs are really flexible. They work in a lot of different settings, even like mental health clinics, hospitals, hand facilities.
Okay, I could kind of make sense with nursing homes and... Yeah. Right, I could see old people or disabled people needing help to learn to do certain things. What about in a school?
OT, in the schools, we help people who struggle with everyday tasks because of their poor motor skills. We help them improve their fine motor skills, their organization, sensory processing, anything that they struggle with. Like for my younger students, they struggle with zipping their coat or writing. And the older ones could struggle with typing, finding letters on the keyboard. So we help them become more independent and efficient in their everyday lives. So if I work in a school, we look more at what does a student need to do when they're in school. They need to be able to catch up, keep up with what the teacher is saying, write notes at the same pace, complete homework at the same pace as their classmates. So in the school system, like it's different between every grade level and elementary, middle, and high school. One group of kids, I work with scissor skills with them. One of them I work with buttoning, and then another one I work with organizing their backpack and lockers.
That sounds fun. I guess that makes sense because a lot of times these kids at school, they don't really have a good amount of attention, individual attention from the teachers, right, from the staff. And at home, their parents might not know how to help them. So it's good to have someone like you in a school to guide them through and fix the little things along the way.
Yeah, so we're all a team. And the great thing about being an OT is that if the student needs one-on-one time, you can pull them out of the classroom. and help them improve their skills one-on-one. We can also work with them in the classroom. There's so much collaboration going on. If they need any OT, we help the students stay on par with their classmates despite their difficulties.
Very cool. Wow. Sounds like a very rewarding job.
Yeah, I learned so much. The interventions are all different. The populations I work with during each school year are different. It's really an awesome and fulfilling profession.
Are all these schools in Queens? That's where you live now, right? Or or in New York City?
Yeah, they're all in New York City. So my first year, I worked in Harlem. The second year, I worked in Upper West Side and Flushing, actually. And this year, my third school year, I'm working in East New York.
That's a diverse group of kids to work with.
All different demographics. I have experience in public schools, charter schools, and private schools. And now I know that I have preferences.
What do you prefer?
I prefer all the Brooklyn schools. I really like working in public and charter schools.
Okay.
Yeah. The private schools are all right. I feel like I can improve a lot more when I'm in the public and charter schools versus the private schools.
Kids, and what's home care like?
Home care. I get an email asking, hey, do you want to pick up this kid at home? I email back, I'm like, yes. And I go in, I do an evaluation. The families I've met were so nice. However, sometimes I feel uncomfortable going into random houses and apartment buildings. I decided to take a pause on home care for the time being because it really depends on where the cases are that you're picking up.
What about nursing homes?
Nursing homes? The geriatric patients are really funny. I mean, some of them are really grumpy and don't want to work with you at all. But some of them are really awesome. Working in nursing homes, you get to know so many patients. And since I treat them for usually a minimum of 30-minute sessions, I get to have really good conversations with them.
What inspired you to become an OT?
Working in OT, you get to see all the progress when you work with the patients or the clients, the students. You get to be there on the journey with them. It's like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel as they learn to be more independent and function more efficiently in their everyday life. It's attributed to you and other parts of the team to help them live life to their fullest.
Very well said. Thank you. I like it.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what you're busy with lately. Because outside of work, you always try to keep yourself busy. I know even in college, you love to attend events. And I'm sure you're still doing the same now.
Yeah, I love events. I like used to really love going to those pop-up events. Actually, I think I still do. I just haven't gone to any pop-up events for maybe 8 months now.
So you were telling me that you were actually an Yelpily. What is that?
A Yelpily.
An Yelpily. A-Y-O-U. Oh, yeah. So you were telling me you were a Yelpily. What is that?
Yeah, Yelpily is a title that Yelp gives you when you write a lot of reviews and post a lot of pictures reviewing stuff like restaurants, parks, clinics, convenience stores, events, anything that has a page on Yelp, you review it. When the Yelp mods, they're like, hey, this person is so active on Yelp, she's adding so much to the community, they're like, hey, would you want to become Yelpily? And it sounds really like elitist, but it comes with a lot of great perks because they invite you to so many fun events where you get to eat free food, meet new people, learn. It's a program that I would recommend for people who love to eat and meet new friends.
You write a lot of reviews and then you become an elite and then you get to go to events, meet people, and have free food.
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
Honestly, I think I got accepted because of all the pictures I posted on Yelp because I only had 30 reviews posted, so I don't think that's a lot.
But I could do that in an hour.
Yeah, you could, actually. But I had over 1,000 pictures with captions posted, so that's probably what catapulted me into getting accepted into Yelp Elite.
Okay. That's fun, and I'm sure you meet a lot of friends at the same events, and that just makes it more fun.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't really hang out with someone in college or high school. You knew them from before. And now when you all get invited to the same events, you go with them and you form a better bond with them.
Like members in a secret society.
But sometimes you could bring plus ones. Nice. Yeah, because you've been to how many? Like three or two?
Two or three.
Yeah, you got to enjoy a lot of food.
I heard that you also started teaching something online. Are you a teacher? What do you do online now?
Yeah, so I taught English I practice English with random people online. Mm. There's so many ESL companies from other countries, China, Korea. And I spent a lot of time researching ESL companies and made an Excel sheet complete with certifications, rates, internet speed requirements. And I signed up for a few companies to teach English online to those who are part of the company. Some of them you need a video component, some of them is just the audio. I liked it, but I think I got caught up in other work and projects. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really doing that too much right now. But I think it's really great for those people who have a bachelor's degree. Once you have a bachelor's degree, you can sign up for all these ESL companies online. Mm-hmm. You can work from home. I think it's really great for those who don't want to go out or any evening shifts, because actually you can have your regular 9-to-5 job and then come home and work, teach English online.
But their morning is your nighttime, so exactly. The time difference actually helps.
Yeah. Oh. They really like the hours 6 to 9 p.m.
This is probably getting really popular during COVID. Mm. And I'm sure you recommend it to your friends who is looking for supplemental income. I know the companies take a cut. Would you say the income is still worth it? Even though it's just supplemental income, could people make a full-time job out of this?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people can. I actually did recommend a few companies to a lot of my friends who were looking for something to do outside of work while they're at home. There's so much more free time now. And I think not just for the money, but teaching online is just, it helps you grow your skills as a better teacher and articulator and storyteller, because those kids really like to talk. You can have a lot of fun with it because some people like to call repeatedly.
For people that might be interested, can you share a little about how much they can make potentially teaching English online?
Yeah, the audio only ESL companies.
That means they don't see you through the webcam, okay.
Right, so their base is $10, but if you're bilingual, then you can get like $11 or something. And then they add a lot of dollars every time you have a certain certification. If you go to class on time and teach it, they add a few more dollars. If you teach a minimum amount of classes, like 30 classes a month, they give you a few more dollars. So it just really adds up. And there's peak hours where if you go on during certain times, like when there's not enough tutors available, then the pay could be like $19 an hour. Mm. And that's only for audio. But if you add a video component into it, your pay could be like $25 an hour, $30 an hour. It just depends on the company because they do take a cut.
That sounds like a great opportunity for a lot of people, actually. A lot of folks are out there making minimum wage working in a fast food place, for example. And this allows you to create your own schedule, work from home directly. You don't have to travel. You don't have to wear, uniforms. You don't have to spend money on a lot of things. And you can just work from home. And all you need is a computer, maybe a mic and internet, which most of us have nowadays.
Exactly. I think it's really great.
Yeah. You also started a podcast?
Yeah, I did.
Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, so I started a podcast called Happier with Ming. So Happier with Ming, it's a lifestyle design and personal development podcast of positivity, inspiration, productivity, and growth. You could hear the rest of my intro if you listen to it.
I heard all the episodes.
Yeah, thank you for being so supportive. Basically, it's a podcast where I hope it's refreshing and motivational, and I hope to encourage and inspire people to live life to their fullest every day, like an OT.
I like that. Is it hard to start a podcast?
No. I mean, in the beginning, like, I should have started this so much earlier, and I kept putting it off. I'm like, oh, I'll do it later. I have so much on my to-do list. But I started in May of this year, and it wasn't actually that hard. You don't even have to have a microphone. You don't even have to have a microphone. You could just use your laptop.
Oh, but your laptop has a microphone. That's what you meant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like,
Yeah, no, you could use your phone. You could just...
Your phone has a microphone too.
Okay, fine. You don't need to have any external microphone. You don't have to spend any money upfront to start a podcast. All you need to do is go on whatever platform. There's free ones. There's paid ones. Upload your voice message. Your voice audio clip.
So you're saying if you have a phone, you could just basically record from your phone and have it uploaded, broadcast to everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a difference between really well-produced podcasts and those who just kind of record on their phone and upload it.
Is my podcast well-produced?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's gotten a lot better because you have the intro and outro.
Oh, thank you.
And I remember in the beginning, the first episode, you had that, the clapping sound?
Oh, the drums.
Oh, the drums. I did not like that.
I liked it.
You took my feedback. It's very good.
So this Happier with Ming podcast, what's the inspiration behind that?
I started a podcast because I wanted to find an outlet where I could be more vulnerable and share more of myself. I tried YouTube, but I didn't really put aside the time to edit. Ben did all the editing.
Who's Ben?
You're Ben. So I really love listening to other people's podcasts, and I was like, okay, voice is the new thing. I want to start one too. And the outlet really allows me to share more of myself, even more than Instagram could. I do post a lot on Instagram, the story, but I don't really talk to it.
So would you say maybe people are more interested in ideas nowadays? Because when you listen to someone talk, you can actually learn a lot about them, how they think, how they speak, what ideas they have. Compared to Instagram photos, it's just much more expressive and you can learn so much more about a person.
Yeah, Instagram, everybody posts like perfect photos. Everything's edited and filtered. But I think with podcasting, you try to be perfect as well. But you get to hear people's personalities through their voices. You get to hear them share more of themselves. Instagram, there's like a limit per video. Podcasting, if you want to talk for 30 minutes, you can do that. And those who really want to get to know you can check out your podcast. Trying to find a balance between delivering content that is both relatable and aspirational.
Mm. So this podcast is called Happier with Ming?
Yeah.
I think you're always happy. You're like a happy person. How do you do that?
So I have a gratitude mindset. I make it a habit to express thankfulness and appreciation in all parts of my life on a regular basis for both the big and small things. I think that it's really important. We need to learn to appreciate all that life has to offer us. Not just the positive parts, but the negative parts as well. You know, like that movie Inside Out?
Yeah.
We saw that in theaters like years ago.
Right.
So, spoiler alert, but at the end of the movie, we learn that we need to feel sadness in order to fully process and feel other emotions clearly as well. It's part of the journey, so I'm not always happy, but I seem like it most of the time because of my mindset and gratitude.
So during this quarantine, you've been exercising pretty consistently and cooking a lot. What is that experience like?
Yeah, it's crazy because like in college, in high school, I didn't exercise at all. You would like try to get me to go to a gym.
No?
Yes, you would.
Oh?
You're like, yo, let me teach you how to use this machine in hopes of me. Trying to go.
No.
Yeah.
I said no.
And now the roles have shifted.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I work out very consistently. And when do you go? Cricket.
Next question.
I moved to this apartment in December. And there's a really nice gym here. We were like the only ones in the building using it. So I was like, oh, let me use the in-building gym. So I went there. I learned how to use the equipment. That really started my habit of exercising consistently. The gym is closed now, but I use my yoga mat and I work out in my room.
Oh, in the apartment?
Yep, in this apartment. I try to keep myself accountable because in the beginning, I started with exercise challenges and recording myself doing these exercises. So I think that really helped solidify my habit of exercising. I think it's really important to prioritize movement since we're sitting all day in this work from home tech culture where we just look at our screens all day. So that's why I decided, all right, I need to take better care of my health. I need to move. And for the cooking, you know how I did not cook before.
Right. Nada. Can't even make an egg.
I could make an egg.
You could only make an egg.
I can make rice too. But now I'm able to cook so much more.
Mm.
Before, I used to live with family members. They always cooked for me. I had a meal plan. I didn't really have a need to learn how to cook other than like a few staple dishes. But now living in this apartment, cooking is a bigger part of my life now.
Mm.
So I learned to cook a lot more dishes. But now I can cook so many dishes and you get to taste them.
Oh, they're amazing. Wow.
And how are they? How do they taste?
Good.
That's it? Good. That's it?
Yes.
Salty?
They're good.
Excuse me. You have to be nice to me. You have to be nice to me because this is going on the web. Want water?
No. What do you like to do outside of being just productive? You like to travel?
Yeah, I love to travel. How do you know?
You look like someone that loves to travel.
Do you know anybody who does not like to travel?
I don't know, actually. Yeah. He has really shy people, but deep down, they probably still like to travel.
I love traveling. I started keeping a travel list.
Travel list?
Yeah.
You traveled to that many places?
Mm-hmm. But I only started it last year. I should have started it earlier.
Okay.
But in 2019, I visited, guess how many continents?
How many continents are there?
Seven.
Three?
Yeah!
Oh, okay.
Do you know which ones?
Europe?
Yeah.
Asia?
Uh-huh.
America.
Which one?
America?
Which America?
South America?
No.
South America.
North America. America.
Oh, it's about Canada.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
And guess how many countries?
Six?
More.
Seven?
More.
Eight?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I visited eight countries. I mean, some people have more than that. I think that's a pretty decent list. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in 2020, how many countries I visited outside of the US?
2020 as in this year?
Yeah, this year.
COVID year?
Yes.
Two?
One. I only visited one country, which
Canada?
Is Canada.
Ah.
We went to Montreal.
That doesn't even count.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was just like a road trip.
So you must be struggling right now, not being able to travel.
I know. I'm really bummed that we had to cancel our trip next month.
Mm. Where?
To Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Are you sorry? Are you sad? I was sad.
I'm so sad for you.
You didn't seem very sad when we had to cancel it.
I was very devastated.
Oh my gosh.
I have a few more just random questions for people who might be interested in knowing more about you.
Cool.
Do you think people are inherently good?
Okay, so originally when you asked me this question like 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I think people are inherently good when they're born, babies, pure, innocent. But after 2 years of discussion with you shaping me, watching the world, I feel like, yeah, for sure. People are not so inherently good after all. Because, you know, when we're growing up, you have to teach the kids to say thank you and please and have manners. If you don't, then they just become not so great people.
It's like raising a kid to be good takes a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just come naturally.
Right, exactly. Raising a kid to be good takes a lot of effort. But if you just let them be, where are they going to learn the good behaviors?
Hmm.
They're just going to get shaped to be bad.
Right, that's why they always say we need better role models for kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I just kind of realized that I've been asking this question to all my friends who, you know, live in America, a great country. Everyone has a great upbringing. So it's natural for people to say, yeah, people are good. Because I can imagine if I ask this question to people who live in a war zone or a third world country,
mm-hmm.
Would they say people are inherently good? It would be much harder, right?
Yeah, we're all biased. Like, when you asked me this 2 years ago, I was like, yeah, people are for sure inherently good.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Twitter hack that happened, like, last week?
Yeah, the Bitcoin.
Right, so it just, like, that reminded me that most tech platforms are built idealistically. So they assume that most people are good most of the time. But then there's these manipulative people who can do so much harm.
I almost see it as, like, a miracle of how good our society is. You could imagine how much damage a person could do to their surroundings. And imagine everyone just went crazy for 1 hour. The world would get destroyed.
Right.
But somehow we're just living so peacefully together. Yeah, so I see it as a miracle. Even our civilization is a miracle.
Yeah, so people aren't technically inherently good, but they can learn to be so good.
What do you look for in a man?
What? What happened to the other questions? This is a different question.
Oh, compared to other episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
What? You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay, let me tell you. So, in a man, he needs to be honest, secure, motivated, and have good values.
Mm.
Having a strong foundation, having good values, good upbringing. Also, he should make me laugh. But like with dry humor, not like the center of attention funny. Because I don't
feel... That's what I am.
No! My like favorite type of humor is dry humor.
Hmm. Good to know. Looks not that important to you? What's more important, looks or brains?
Definitely more brains. I need someone who can motivate me and be my accountability partner and push me to be better than who I am.
It's a tough one.
What? Do... what? But like what do looks really get you?
Happiness. It's happy to look at.
But we're all gonna grow up old and wrinkly.
But you could be happy now.
So you would rather date someone who's like... who's like...
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. That's easy.
Can you describe an ideal perfect date?
There are many. In one scenario of my perfect ideal date, the date would make most of the plans, if not all. Makes the reservations.
Rolling my eyes.
You know why this is important? Because I usually have to do all the planning, which I'm not complaining about. I like it. I love planning. I love organizing. But it'd be nice if somebody could make some plans.
You should tell them.
Yes. After a delicious seafood dinner, we could walk by the water, take in the views, have a nice chat. The weather would be cool, not too hot, a nice autumn evening. Sounds perfect?
Sounds perfect.
Also, the guy should be like a K-pop star.
Does the guy need to pay too?
No, I'll pay.
Are you a superstitious person?
Hey, why are all my questions different? What happened to favorite NYC neighborhood?
Okay, if you want to answer that next, sure.
Nah, it's okay. I love them all. Okay, so yeah, I'm a bit superstitious about certain things.
Such as?
Like, you know, don't point at the moon, or else...
Or else I'll cut your ear.
Or else your ear will get bitten at night.
You know that happened to me?
Right? It's real!
Yeah, for some reason, one morning I just woke up with my ear bleeding a little bit in the back of it.
You too?
I don't remember pointing at the moon though, but it just happened. And my mom said, oh, probably because of that. Which I thought was kind of silly, but...
Dude, it's a Chinese thing. Yeah, it is.
I think so.
My grandma told me about it. Yeah, so basically, don't point at the moon or else your ear would get bitten at night. I know it sounds weird, but this happened to my cousin as well. Twice in China. She was so scared because we were all in middle school.
Wow, that's freaky.
Yeah. So okay. I don't point at the moon anymore. We're just like, look at the moon and point at it with your camera.
Oh, okay.
Also, another superstition I have is I don't leave my residence at noon. Or try not to leave 10 minutes before or after as well.
What's the downside to that? It's too hot?
Well, my mom told me that if you open your door near noon or at noon, spirits will come in. Freaky.
That is freaky.
Yeah, bad spirits. Like, even when I go on road trips, like the Airbnbs that we rent, I make everyone rush so they get out of the door by 11:50 a.m., or if it's past 11:50, I make them wait until like 12:10. And I'm like, okay, ready. You guys can go out now.
Your friends must hate you.
No, they actually do it. They're just like waiting by the door. They're like, oh, this again. But then we usually try to leave earlier, like 10:30, 11 a.m.
Okay, interesting. What jobs do you think you'd be terrible at?
Many jobs. Many. I think there are many jobs that I...
No way.
Yeah.
Like what?
Like being a construction worker. Because I'm kind of... Yeah, I'm not very strong.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I mean, I gym you, now.
Yeah, exactly.
My focus isn't the weight training right now. It's more like core strength. So I think construction... Like, any jobs that I need to lift a lot, I would be terrible at. Also, taxi driver. Any, like, driving jobs, I would be very terrible at as well. Because I hate driving.
What if you're driving a school bus? With your favorite kids.
Yeah, but I don't get to interact with them. Okay, they just gotta be seated.
Okay. What's something that makes you... Oh, what's your favorite New York City neighborhood?
No! I can't choose!
Okay. What makes you roll your eyes every time you hear it?
People who complain about how much they have to do, how stressed and busy they are, like, all the time. I mean, it's okay to complain, but... Try to fix it. Try to do something about it instead of just complaining. Just to complain, you know?
So how many times can they complain before they can't anymore?
Maybe like, let's say no more than 5. No more than 5 or 3 even.
So is it good to not complain at all?
No, you should definitely complain. Get it out of your system. But if you get any feedback or constructive criticism or something that you can do to change your life... You should implement it. If you complain about things you have on your plate, how you're so busy all the time, you need to prioritize because most of the time it's things that you made. You made the decisions of putting these things on your plate, right? Most of the time.
Well, people complain is usually out of their control. They complain about people. They're outside of their control. complain about a job, a situation that's outside of their control.
Yeah, I mean, those things, like, you can complain a few times about, but if it really bothers you that much to complain so many times...
So no more than 5 times.
I don't want to put a number to it. But if it really bothers you, you need to change something. You need to change the way you interact with these people, the way you handle your job. Maybe if this person is causing you to complain so much, you're using a lot of time to talk about how upset you are about this person. You need to talk to that person. And in jobs, if you don't like how something is, maybe voice that opinion.
So don't complain more than 5 times.
No! Oh my goodness.
Okay, Ms. Chung, if you could retire tomorrow, what will you be doing? Oh, Ms. Chung, forgot. do you have any hidden talents?
Yeah, I have many hidden talents.
Tell me.
Alright. I can solve one side of a Rubik's Cube.
I can do that too.
In about 10 seconds. Can you do that?
Maybe.
10 seconds?
Maybe.
Dang. Okay. How about I can function without coffee? Is that a hidden talent? I don't feel a difference from when I drink it.
Damn, they're talented. When I don't. Is that talented?
Yeah.
Alright then.
Do you think it's talented?
I just said you're talented. Do you feel good?
Yeah, I feel really good.
Alright then, you're talented.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay. How about this one? I train myself to remember dreams more vividly.
Very useful information. Very talented.
That's how come I wake up every morning, I'm like, oh, I dreamt about this and this and this and this happened. And it was like, there's so many details.
Okay.
One time I even dreamt that I opened up a notebook and wrote down everything that happened in my dream diary. But then I woke up in real life and I was like, dang, I have to write all that down again. So even in my dream, I'm like remembering, like, okay, I need to remember this.
You have a dream diary?
I have a dream diary.
Interesting. Okay, anything else?
No.
That is very talented of you. Ming, if you could retire tomorrow, what will you be doing?
Oh, there are so many things I would love to do.
Such as?
I mean, besides working on my podcast and building a community and possibly create a book in the future.
Whoa, you're gonna write a book?
I think that'll be like in the far future, so. But there are so many other things I like to do with my time. Like fun things. I want to attend more concerts of my favorite music artists, but closer up to the stage so I can see them perform more clearly.
So if you could retire tomorrow, you would want to be closer to the stage.
So I want to have fun.
Okay. You can have fun now before you retire.
I could. I want to attend more concerts.
And be closer to the stage, right?
I want to host events in my building, use the rooftop lounge and the outdoor patio. But also, okay, on a serious note, you know how you want to create a cafe when you have some FU money?
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, I wanted to be a daycare worker. Did you know that?
Daycare worker?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh my gosh, okay. So maybe I could like take that childhood thought, but I'd love to create a safe and secure daycare center where parents can bring their kids in to leave in the care of quality caregivers.
Pretty cool. That's, as an OT right now in a school, you're pretty much doing that. So what would this ideal daycare be doing?
So this daycare would have an emphasis on improving the children's development in all aspects, make them better communicators, eat healthier, learn better behaviors.
So like a baby OT clinic.
Yeah, but not just for babies. It'll be like for elementary school students too.
So a kids OT clinic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Elementary schools need daycare?
So it won't be called a daycare. I think we need to think about what this is going to be called. I mean, but actually, you know, there are daycares for kids who are 12-year-olds too.
Would this be like a traditional daycare or would it be a little different?
Yeah, it's going to be a little different because I want to integrate extracurricular activities such as arts and crafts and dance and theater. And it'll offer services to the parents as well, such as parenting classes, community volunteer events, and social gatherings for family members. Yeah.
Like a mom's club.
No, dads could be parents too.
Right, okay.
Not that I would know firsthand, but being a parent seems really tough. For some, it causes so much stress and anxiety. So I think that having a strong support system is crucial. So the parents could come meet others in the same boat as them and build that strong support system.
How many kids do you want to have?
How about like... like 15. I'm just kidding. Like three.
Three kids.
Yeah, I think three would be awesome.
Wow.
What do you think?
Yeah.
No, what do you think?
Whatever my significant other wants.
How about 15?
Whatever my significant other wants.
How about zero?
Nah.
Nah. I mean, this is pretty idealistic because I have no experience in actual parenting yet, but I have some secondhand experience.
Mm-hmm. So much experience on that resume with kids.
Yeah. Anyway, I used to think that I want to retire really early, but I love my job. So I gotta look into like partial retirement. Yeah.
That's very rare to hear.
Thank you.
Ming, can you tell my listeners where they could find out more about you?
Okay. Yeah, you could connect with me at Happier with Ming on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Listen to my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Thank you for your support.
Podcasts. Okay.
Podcasts. Thank you for your support.
All right, Ms. Chung. Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Q. I appreciate this. Handshake.
Would you come back onto my podcast in the future?
Sure. What are we going to talk about?
Probably the same questions, but maybe a couple months from now.
What? So fast.
Or I'll come up with new questions. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Oh, would you like to sing the outro tune, please?
Oh my gosh, I'm shy. Let's How go. About you do it with me?
Louder. Can't hear. Alright, there you have it, folks. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in. You just listened to The Zealous Theory. If you like this podcast and if what you heard resonated with you, please show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. If any of the topics we talked about during this episode could help a friend out, share with them. Let's see where life's hustle takes us. Talk to you next time.
You hijacking my episode now?
Bye-bye.